thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the Trending Topics Network. Squabblebox is a live, interactive entertainment show that airs on Siren 107.3 FM every Monday and Thursday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Throughout the show, we like to get your views and opinions on many different topics. You can get in touch throughout the week if you're listening to the podcast repeat by going to @Squabblebox on Twitter, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. The music that you hear on the show has had to be edited for legal reasons on the podcast. Stay tuned, we love hearing from you, and let's get started with the show. Good morning, you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. We are Squabblebox. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my lovely co-host, Miss Maisie Anderson, are going to be with you until 1 o'clock today, and we are talking all about food of the world. Yes, we want to know all about your favourite foods from all around the world. You can get in touch @SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox,
or you can text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
And that wide awake voice that you hear this morning is my lovely co-host, Miss Maisie Anderson. How are you doing, Maisie?
Shush you.
Shush.
I have no reason to be tired. I had like a decent night's sleep for the first time in ages.
But sometimes that sometimes happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm genuinely fearing becoming nocturnal.
So, we're doing all about food of the world today. Very excited to do that because there's loads and loads to talk about.
There's almost too much to talk about, though.
Oh, yeah, it's one of these huge topics that we do
this
that we never finish.
Food of the world, part one.
And you can get in touch, as I say, as many of you already have done. But there has been a lot of stuff going on this week. Some of the news stories we're going to talk about are a bit bigger than others.
There's ebbs and flows.
But we're going to kick off today's show with our regular segment, Can You Believe That? That's where we ask, can you believe that a news story has happened this week? And this week, can you believe that yesterday, that was a Wednesday, the new £5 note came into circulation?
Woo!
Now, me and Maisie were talking about this before we came on air today, and you're not as... Explain your opinion.
Well, I'm glad that, they're redesigning it. There's Winston Churchill, did good for the country, all well and good. It's plastic now. I don't know what that means.
They don't want you to use the word plastic. They want you to use the word polymer.
Is it biodegradable?
I'm
assuming not.
The BBC News have described polymer as a thin, flexible plastic.
Is it the same as the Australian monies?
Yes.
Because the Australian monies are made to be super durable, so like they won't get destroyed as easily.
Now, that is one of the main ideas about it, because, as you know, I think I've found as well that £5 notes, out of all the notes, it's always the £5 notes which get the tattiest.
It's because it's the one that gets used the most, I think.
Not anymore, actually, because the £5 note is no longer the most popular note and most regularly used note. Do you know what it is? I read this on BBC News last night.
Is it the £10 note?
No, it's not. It's the £20 note.
Really?
That shows how the economy is going when we're having to use the £20 note so much more.
I think it probably... I can kind of see how that would work, especially because with the way that sort of we exchange money now and with more people using cards...
Yes.
And even like free pay, most people getting money out at a cash machine, you can only normally... at least a lot of the cash machines that I use, you normally can only get £20 out minimum.
That's true.
So maybe that's why. I'm completely speculating.
Here's another question for you, Maisie. Do you know how... do you know that the £5... I've forgotten what I was about to say now. The £5 notes, they are... The reasons why they are bringing it about is because they will be less counterfeitable. Is that a word?
Yeah, I think so.
They are going to be harder to counterfeit. Mm-hmm. Do you know how long... this is my original question that I've just remembered now. Okay. Do you know how long a £5 note as of last week was in circulation for, on average? How long they stay in circulation?
Oh, before they're destroyed?
Yes.
And they bring new ones in? I don't know. I mean, it would have to be a couple years, but not too long.
The longest that they find £5 notes to be in circulation are usually, unless you put it in a piggy bank for 15 years or something, but normally when they're regularly used, 5 years maximum.
Yeah.
But actually, it's 2.5 years that they last at the very long... Oh, no, it's 2.5 years they last at the very longest, actually.
Well,
these new notes are supposed to last 5+ years.
Okay, because this is the thing that... Because one of the main reasons why I don't get super fussed about sort of all of these sort of currency stories, especially when it comes to sort of making new notes and redesigning pound coins and stuff, because they have redesigned the pound coin, but it's not been in circulation yet, has it?
No, not yet.
And the thing is, it's because they actually don't mean anything. They're just... they're basically really fancy IOUs. Because in reality, what that note represents is that the bank actually owes you, like, gold.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to go to the National Treasury and just go, I have this X amount of pounds, give me my gold's worth.
Yes, that is true, but and there are little myths to do with this, that is technically true. But if you go up with a £5 note and say, I want some gold, they'll go... There is no gold here worth £5.
Yeah, obviously you have to go with a substantial amount. But if you take out... But the thing is, like, because remember, as we were growing up, the prices for gold went really... They were really high.
Yeah. They've had a surge over the last few years, actually.
Yeah, and what happened was... And the thing is that I loved the... Because my mum was telling... Because this was the same time my mum told me. So, like, you know the actual, like, monies that you can hold aren't actually technically worth anything, in a technical sense, obviously. They're actually an IOU from the bank. And I was, as she explained to me, I was like, well, why don't you just take out all of your money from all your bank accounts, get the gold's worth, and then sell it to cash for gold for even more profit?
Did you know that more than 30 countries around the world are already using these polymer banknotes?
Well, I knew about Australia.
Australia, Scotland, New Zealand, Canada, just a few of them.
I heard, and I don't know if this is just a rumour, I heard that Scottish money is actually easier to replicate.
I didn't know
my
that.
My sister came back from Scotland with a fake banknote.
Oh, really?
Because it was just in circulation, and she ended up getting it from... Because we went to Scotland for our holidays, and obviously we had a little bit of spending money, and my sister came back with a £10 note, and we were looking at it, because it didn't quite look right, and then we noticed in the corner there was like a blank spot where someone hadn't quite photocopied it properly.
Yeah.
And it was still in circulation, because no one had noticed.
Oh, right, well, maybe that's why... When you take, because I've found this, when you go and pay with like a £10 Scottish note, anywhere around in England, a lot of places just shake their head at you and like are really really annoyed for you doing it. Maybe that's why.
BHS does take Scottish money.
Oh yeah, everywhere has to.
Do they actually have to? Is that a legal requirement?
Yeah, definitely.
Ah.
They just people...
See, I don't like doing it to small independent stores because I know that. For them, it's actually going to be a bigger deal to go and exchange the £10 because they have to take time out of their day to do that, whereas big super
But they
stores,
can still use it. Like, they can give it back to someone as change.
I suppose, but...
Now, here's the thing that I didn't know, is that actually coming up in the summer of 2017, there will be a new polymer £10 banknote, followed by polymer £20 notes that will be available by 2020. Now, that doesn't surprise me, but it's sort of, I sort of sit here now and I go, wow, my kids are probably not going to remember a world where we had paper banknotes.
Was it?
And you know, like when my, because I know my grandparents will sit there and they'll go, oh, I remember when it were pound, shillings and pence. Well, and we're going to sit there going, oh, I remember when all our paper money was paper.
Well, this
not this plastic stuff that you guys have. They got rid of plastic bags in the same year that they brought in plastic banknotes. How does that make any sense?
I love the fact that you get more northern the older you pretend to be.
Oh, I'm going to be such a northern granddad.
I can't wait to be a grumpy little old lady, because I am. I know I am, and I can't, because I'm already half of that.
I was going to say, can't wait.
Don't push it. But yeah, my mum always used to tell me about how she used to go into town in the 80s or the 70s. I think it might have been the 70s, with £2, and that was her pocket money for the week. And she'd come home with a plethora of stuff, especially if she, instead of getting the bus home for 20p, she called my dad. She called not my dad, her dad on a free payphone. And asked him to come get her, which he nearly always did, because on the weekends he just did. I don't know. But like, she would have like all these, she would buy like rings from the market, and she'd get probably like a new top and a comic book, and she could get all of those things for £2.
Well,
you can't
I
even
was,
buy a comic book for £2.
I was, when I was looking up about this story on BBC News, they had an article about whether the £5 notes that we have now will one day be a collector's sought after item. And when I was looking it up, they said it's possible, but when you think about the old pound notes, which are no longer in circulation, there is the BBC News were so sassy in this, because they just turned around and went, to be fair, we all thought that those would become collectible, but there's a guy on eBay who's selling five of them for $6.99, and it's had zero bids. So.
Yeah, because I love it when I look at like period dramas and they've got the really thin, like huge pieces of paper that is actually money.
Yeah.
But like, it looks like a contract.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love that. Can we go back to that money?
Probably not.
But it,
I say Monopoly money. More colour.
Well, to be fair, we do have different colours and different sizes for our notes. America doesn't.
Do you know that
American dollars, no matter what their value, look exactly the same. That's how people end up accidentally overpaying for stuff a lot of the time.
I only realised the other day that the £5 notes, £10 note, and £20 note get bigger.
Did you not?
I only realised that the other day. But we are talking all about food of the world today. We've been talking about money of the world. But yeah, food of the world is our topic. You can get in touch and let us know all about it. After this next song, we'll talk about it.
We'll go back on track.
Because we know what we're going to have to talk about next. The big, big story of this week.
Yes.
Sure, there's a £5 note coming out that will, you know, somehow affect the rest of our lives. But no, Bake Off. We're going to talk about it after this next song. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
Never put my love out on the line. Never said yes to the right guy. Never had trouble getting what I want. But when it comes to you, I'm never good enough. When I don't care, I can play him like a Ken doll. Won't wash my hair, then make him bounce like a bat. I think I'd have a heart attack.
Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. We're talking all about food of the world today. You can get in touch. Let us know all about your favourite foods from all around the world. We'll be talking about them very shortly and reading some of your answers out. Get in touch at Siren FM on Twitter, studio at sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
So, Maisie, we have some big news to talk about from the last few days. It actually broke just after we'd been on air on Monday, the original story, but it's been unravelling all throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, Bake Off is moving to Channel 4.
Oh, dear.
We don't know. Well, it's nothing against Channel 4.
Oh, no,
not
of course
at all.
It's not.
We're just, you know, people are a little bit. It's fair to say. A lot of people are not very pleased.
Yeah, I didn't realise this would be as big of a story as it is, but obviously with the ratings that the Great British Bake Off pulls in every year, especially for its final episode, it's not surprising that it's been really highly sought after.
Yes.
Because well, there was that thing that me and you were talking about where apparently the BBC was put under scrutiny for having, oh, they can't have their best shows in primetime slots. That's not fair on other TV channels. And we pointed, and then it was me and you both went, wait a minute, Bake Off's on a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in the evening. That's not prime time.
So it's one of those ones where we sort of laughed it off earlier this year when we heard that Bake Off might leave the BBC. And even when it was announced earlier this week that on Monday that Bake Off was leaving the BBC, I turned around to a few people on Facebook and Twitter and said, I think that this is a bargaining chip. I think they've said that they've ceased contact with the BBC and stopped negotiating as a way to say, let's see what the reaction is. And then when they hear all the massive reactions to things, then they will decide, oh, yeah, we'll keep it and we'll give you the extra money or the extra whatever they wanted. But then suddenly we find out Channel 4 has snapped it right up.
Yeah.
Mel and Sue have they have the greatest statement to leave.
I love it. It's
we're
so
not,
good.
We're not going with the dough, which makes me think, I wonder whether they've either come up with that very, very quickly or whether they've had it prepared for a while.
I think they've been waiting for a while. I can imagine the two of them months ago sitting in a cafe together just sort of writing as many bread and baking type puns as they can and then just sort of moving them about until it made a coherent statement.
So there's been lots of stories flying around about this, whether Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry are going to leave. There's rumours flying around everywhere. Mary Berry's husband has implied that she might be leaving and not moving over to Channel 4. There's a lot of things up in the air about it at the moment. But one of the stories, which I'm not sure whether you've seen, Maisie, because I didn't tell you about it, but did you know that one of the worst things to happen this week for the BBC as well as this is that their new canteen has just been redecorated at BBC
headquarters
with Bake Off wallpaper.
No!
Big, giant Bake Off wallpaper.
They must have really thought they were going to keep it.
And there's loads of, and it's all in the style of Great British Bake Off, and it's really, really cringy to look at now, because all these BBC producers have gone and people who work there have gone and stood next to it with a big sad frown on the face and just going, we've just finished the canteen, why would you leave us?
I wonder if they're going to try and commission something similar.
Well, this is what makes me think, because I see that the main thing on this wallpaper, because there are different people from chefs from the BBC, but the main two in the middle are Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry. If those two were to stay with the BBC, they could be commissioned to do another show, possibly. But it's one of those where you go, oh, that's just a really bad timing for that to be finished.
To be fair, they should have thought, if the negotiations aren't finished, then why would they do that?
But maybe they thought it's a given because it's such a popular show that they wouldn't, because Love Productions are the company behind it, and I can, to give another side to the argument, I can completely see why they would want to go to Channel 4, because Channel 4 are offering them more money. That is a huge argument towards wanting to do something. if someone asked me to sell something and offered me, you know, so much money to go there, it's kind of hard to refuse. But the BBC, on the other hand, has helped grow the show. And you were one of the people who turned around to me and you said, actually, the Great British Bake Off, I can't really see it. It's BBC at its finest.
I don't remember saying those words.
That's the words that I used on Twitter.
It's because the BBC has this sort of element of massive, sort of, has this sort of traditional Britishness about it in its own staples, because it is the British Broadcasting Company. It's also sort of the first in what has become a huge history of television. And the Bake Off fits, and I'm not at no point am I going to start I would never sort of try and predict what's going to happen after it goes onto Channel 4, because they're both very different distributors, but they're still being made by the same company.
Yeah,
because it's still being made by Love Productions. It depends how much of a rein Channel 4 gives them.
It also sounds like big things are changing at Love Productions with the two, because the other news that's broken this week, and it is very sad news to hear, is that the two people who own Love Productions and who came up with the creation of the format for Bake Off, they are a married couple and they have separated.
Yeah.
So they're not, and it sounds like they're no longer going to be working together as part of the company. So it's all very up in the air right now. But what we do know is that there will not be a new full series of Bake Off next year.
No, it's a celeb.
There will be a celebrity special for Stand Up to Cancer, but there will not be a full series of Bake Off. And it's sad, and it's not great for fans, and people are a little bit up in the air of whether they're going to like it. It's sort of like when the Top Gear, that stayed with the BBC, but...
Well, a lot of people have been making similar jokes. I've seen a lot of people making mock articles where the new hosts have been announced for Great British Bake Off, and it's Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc can be the new hosts of Bake Off, and then Mel and Sue can be just stood there with the Stig going round the track.
Well, that's the thing. It's can you imagine Matt LeBlanc doing the Great British Bake Off?
Oh, that would be...
He doesn't share.
Joey doesn't share food. But we've had a message in from Gary in Huddersfield who says if they have Jamie Oliver as the new host when they move over to Channel 4, he thinks it will go downhill from there. Jamie Oliver is the...
front runner.
He's one of the front runners between him and Joe Brand.
Yeah.
Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield have ruled themselves out.
Well, surely Jamie Oliver is more likely to replace Hollywood or Mary Berry in the case that they do leave.
That would make sense.
I
think it's mainly because they're not looking for...
Tell you what, if it's open auditions, me and you.
Oh.
Me and you, Great British Bake Off.
I'd just be there going... I don't know what to say about that. It looks nice.
Well, no. We do the presenting Mel and Sue bit.
This is going to be the problem, I think, for whoever takes
over. Yeah, it's going to be
because you can't replicate them. I think that's one of the main... Going back to Top Gear, it's one of the main problems that Chris Evans had is that he did basically just replicate Clarkson, and it wasn't a very popular decision.
Whoever the new presenters are going to have to try and make it sort of recreate a different chemistry.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to replicate Mel and Sue.
Definitely. So you are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We've got our Bake Off venting out of the way for now. And we're going to... after this next song, we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about food of the world. That's our main topic for today. We haven't touched on it yet. We're 31 minutes in, but you know what? Who cares? We'll get to it. Mm-hmm. We've got loads of messages in already. Keep sending in your messages. Maisie, what are we heading into?
This is She's So Lovely by Scouting for Girls. We'll be right back after this. I love the way she feels her clothes. She looks just like them. are listening to Siren FM. It is 11:35 and this is Squabble Box on Thursday.
I was going to say Siren 107.3 FM.
No, I was going to say on a Thursday morning, but I forgot what the day was.
Well, we are on twice a week.
I never get these right. Whenever I come up after the song, I always get it wrong.
It's okay. You're doing well. You're doing really well. We're talking all about food of the world today. You can get in touch. Let us know about your favourite foods from all around the world at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabble Box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
So it's a very open-ended topic, is this one?
It's very broad. We have the whole world to discuss.
We do.
And so there's no way we're going to get across every single country.
Oh,
it's impossible.
Of course not. And if you're listening, because I know we do have international listeners, if we miss out on any of your foods, then please do get in touch and let us know.
I think the best way to do it is let the audience lead us.
Yes, I think so too. And that's why we'll go into our first one, which is from Owen in Lincoln, who says that he says that one of the foods that he has had from around the world, he had kangaroo, but he had it from an Australian bar in Italy. Which is a really weird sort of thing, but yeah, cool.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Food in general is international. I mean, when you think about it, we have, if you look along the Brayford, where we have so many restaurants.
Oh, of course.
Most of them are Italian.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
The majority of them are Italian. There's three Italians, one burger joint, and then a Harvester.
Yeah, and there's Nando's as well, which is Portuguese.
Oh, you'd have to double check.
I think it's Portuguese.
I don't go to Nando's enough to know. It's chicken place.
It's chicken. So let's stick with kangaroo first. Have you had kangaroo before?
I haven't. I am quite interested because in the idea of alternative meats. I'm making it sound like a genre.
Yeah.
Is it alternative meats? Cause,
I like the earlier stuff.
Like dinosaurs. No, I've heard that you can get sort of a crocodile, kangaroo, ostrich, stuff like that.
I think I've had kangaroo, because this is one of the great things about Lincoln, is that there is the market that goes right down the high street.
Yeah, the food market's great.
I hate walking down there when I have no money, because all the food smells so nice. I don't go taste it if I don't have any money.
Obviously, but you can kind of take, you can imagine how it tastes, and that's even worse.
Definitely. I had a kangaroo burger from there, because there was a couple of different choices of burger, and I just went, no, actually, because you want to, I said, I'll try kangaroo, and the great thing was, the guy behind the counter, I just went, so what, and it's so stereotypical to get this reaction, but I went, what does it taste like? And he just went, chicken.
Yeah, apparently a lot of meat tastes the same, like a lot of meat tastes like poultry, because this is going to be the weirdest spin-off to something ever.
Okay.
But basically, did you ever remember the Sorcerer's Apprentice? It was a show on CBBC where basically it was a bunch of kids living. They went to this magic school, and they learned how to be magicians.
No,
it might have been called the Magician's Apprentice, I think it was called the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Either way, part of that was they also did sort of wacky side things while they weren't training to do tricks and stuff.
Okay,
and one of them was that they had one night for dinner they had crocodile meat.
All right.
And one of the boys kicked off. He was like, no, it's just chicken. It's just chicken. He kept going on about it. He'd had a bad day and he'd failed his magic exam or something. And he just kept going on. But it's not chicken. It's not chicken. So one of the teachers basically turned around and sort of sent him out the room and stuff. And then he had to have a meeting. And it was the weirdest thing to see on television. I didn't realise at the time. But basically, him and the head teacher, who was the sorcerer, had this meeting in his office, and he basically just put a packet of meat in front of him and said, read the label, and it went, it's crocodile. And he made him read the label. It was the weirdest thing to watch.
That's one of the things that I've always wanted to try crocodile. I'd like to try these other different sorts of foods because we're so. I think the reason why we think everything tastes like chicken is because we're so used to chicken. Because that's one of the main sort of meats that we do eat in this country.
It's a common meat in the UK.
Yeah, it's the easiest really to get hold of, yeah. I would say.
And it's reasonably fair price depending on where you get it from.
Let's concentrate on Australia.
Let's go to Australia.
Because we've been talking about kangaroo.
Australian bar in Italy, that's
Australian
amazing.
Australian bar in Italy, yeah, brilliant. Thank you for that one, Owen. So other ones from, what about witchetty grubs?
They're insects, aren't they?
Yes, but...
Now, I don't think many Australian people just go around eating insects.
No, this is where I was a bit surprised at, is that they actually have, and any Australians listening, please do get in touch.
And correct us, because we're going to say some horrible fouls.
But one of the things, but one of the things that I remember hearing is that actually in... Because some of the stuff that they put on Bush Tucker Trials on I'm a Celebrity, some of the little snacks of insects are actually bar food. So they are available, they put them on the bar.
Our equivalent of pork scratchings.
Exactly.
Ooh,
and that sort of surprised me. And I went, because that's why because I always find it funny when we're watching the Bush Tucker Trials on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and Anton Deck are squirming, but the people behind the camera, when they talk to because they normally talk to the runners and the producers behind the camera and stuff on that show, and they turn around and they go, but that's just normal food. We
have
eat
that with
here.
A pint.
And that's one of the brilliant things about food from around the world is that you can, different cultures find different things to eat. Absolutely, you know, it's what's socially accepted more than how it tastes.
Because I have some American family, and although I've never met them personally, they came over to visit my mum and my aunt and that whole side of my family when they were kids.
All right,
apparently, every time that my great aunt, my mum's regular aunt, came over, she would take a huge box of Mars bars back with her.
Oh, all right.
Because by then they'd stopped making them. I don't know, because for some reason in America there's like a weird thing where sometimes Mars bars, they make Mars bars and sometimes they don't.
There's
also
didn't
a weird thing where chocolate in America tastes very different to ours.
It does, because...
They use different ratios of sugar.
They use barely any sugar compared to ours. That's why I remember trying Hershey's chocolate as a kid, and I still don't like Hershey's chocolate.
The Hershey's chocolate you can get in stores in England, though, are made with lots of sugar, though.
But I still don't like them, so I can't imagine liking them in America.
Yeah, Hershey's Kisses are great.
That's why we've got listeners to this show, Justin, who messages in quite a lot. I tried to send him some British sweets one time. It failed massively because it went to his wrong address. but I said, because he loves all those British sweets that are not available really in America that much. Going back to Australia, this website, which is travel.cnn.com, so CNN have put a travel website out, and they say that sausage rolls are the lunch of choice for many Australians.
Like the sausage rolls we have with the puff pastry?
Yeah, sausage meat wrapped in pastry and oven baked. That would be there. Where we would usually take maybe a sandwich for lunch. Apparently sausage rolls are a choice that they make in Australia.
It's also a choice in Britain, because I currently have a sausage roll in my bag waiting for my lunch.
Maybe you're just a little bit...
More Australian than I thought.
Yeah.
I have no Australian blood.
You claim to be from everywhere, so...
No, I don't claim to be from everywhere. My mother claims to be from everywhere, and I agree with her.
So, other foods from around the world, Maisie.
Well, we touched on America.
Yes, America's going to be a big topic, so maybe we should leave that until we've got a bit more time after the news. Let's think of other countries, because let's focus on Britain for a few minutes, because British food, I think we have some really nice food in Britain that other places don't really, that we have as a culture, but other places don't. And actually, different places in Britain have different things.
Don't you dare start the bread roll conversation.
No, I'm not going to start the bread roll conversation, mainly because it's a tea cake. It's a tea cake, mainly.
It's not a tea cake.
So what I'm saying, though, is a lot of places, like for like breakfast, for when you have like a fry-up breakfast, there's a difference between like a Lancashire...
There's Lancashire, there's Scottish full English.
Yes.
I don't think they call it a full English.
But, like, different places have different things on. Like, Yorkshire puddings I grew up with Yorkshire puddings with pretty much everything because I am from a stereotypical northern Yorkshire family.
And yet you don't know how to make them.
I have no idea. That was something on the bake-off that we were there going, I have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, because there was also... Because this is the thing, I once watched a video, and there are lots of these types of things where it's sort of blank tries blank's food for the first time. So basically, someone from one country trying the food of another country, and they always pick the worst examples.
Oh, of course.
Because they want the best reaction. So like they like when and there was one where it was Americans try full English for the first time, because there are some places, there are some restaurants in America that just do what is typical British food. And so they took these people to this restaurant to have a full English, and there was a lot of people didn't quite understand what was going on. And one person actually thought this is an everyday breakfast, like Britain eats this every morning. So, no, it's a treat. It's like a Sunday lunch.
Some places.
A bit like a Sunday lunch. You only have it like maybe once or twice a month normally. Although there was a period of time when Doctor Who first came back to television, where my family every Saturday night would have a full fry up as dinner with Doctor Who for reasons that I never understood, but it was great.
It always just make me laugh, like the little British things that we have. Like one of the things is,
that's probably the most British thing I've ever done.
What's the most British food that you think there is? I think it's fish and chips.
Fish and chips is a good one. Fish and chips is internationally known as a very British food.
Definitely.
I think Yorkshire puddings are up there.
But I've always been a bit, because when I go to fish and chip shops, I don't buy fish because I'm not a fan of fish.
So I always
go for the battered sausage.
I used to as a kid because I didn't like the fish.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
But this is the thing. How do you construct if you were to make the perfect full English, what would you have on it? Because sometimes it's down to personal preference. Like, I don't like fried tomatoes.
I would have... Oh, I love fried tomatoes.
But it depends.
Do you like tin tomatoes?
No, I hate tin tomatoes. If I'm going to have a tomato, it's got to be fresh.
Right.
I probably, actually, thinking about it, now I probably would have a fried tomato, but the one thing I can't stand is fried bread.
Oh, no, fried bread is nice.
No, toast.
It's got to be done
toast.
Right, but fried bread is nice, and you can't have too much of it. But, yeah, I would have fried bread, scrambled eggs.
Really?
Yeah, scrambled
eggs. Not fried?
No, I always prefer scrambled. Mm. We talked about this on Monday, sure.
We did.
So, scrambled eggs, sausages. I've got to admit, since I've come to Lincoln, I've fallen in love with Lincolnshire sausages.
I feel so bad getting anything else.
They are so much...
Good.
Yeah, there's such a difference. Like, if there's one thing that has come out of my time at Lincoln...
Yeah, this is the thing. Technically, we're such a tiny island. In reality, we're a very small space of land.
Definitely.
But there's no two towns that are alike.
No.
And everyone's got... Like the fact that we've got different sausages depending on what side of the M4 you're on or whatever...
Yeah, it's like...
It's weird.
It's like, well, you know, we couldn't get over those Pennines, so we'll just have different types of meat.
Plus, there's literally a signpost somewhere, and it's my favourite thing in the world. Somewhere in Kent, there's a signpost with one arrow saying ham and the other one saying sandwich.
Really?
Yeah. Because the tiny little towns of ham and sandwich are next to each other. And it's amazing.
So we are talking all about food of the world today. Other British food...
is available.
I'm trying to think of other British food that
Well, if you go up to Scotland...
Yes.
Haggis is a big one. And we've actually had... a couple of people have mentioned haggis.
Yes.
Have you
had haggis?
Oh, of course I have.
Yeah, I think I have. I th- think it's, I've
it's,
had haggis.
It's surprisingly spicy.
Yeah.
It's a peppery kind of spice.
I did try it, actually, when I was on a holiday a few years ago. I was on a holiday in Italy. That is the truth.
And Italy
I had haggis.
Everything.
I was on a cruise, so I was probably somewhere in the ocean somewhere.
I've been on a cruise.
It's very difficult with a northern accent to talk, with a Yorkshire accent like mine, to talk about going on a cruise, because just saying the word cruise makes you sound like you're trying to be more above your station, which always makes me laugh. But we are talking all about food of the world. We're going to be heading off into a few songs before the news. We've been talking about Bake Off and the bread... I can't even say it properly. The bread...
The breadzik. Brexit.
Melon soup.
You can't,
no,
really
you can't
say
do
it.
It. The BBC News put it up last night and it made me laugh, so. So I thought I'd go with it, but it just doesn't work.
It looks great written down.
So keep getting in touch, letting us know your favourite foods from all around the world, and stay tuned to Siren FM. When can I see you again? Owl City from Wreck-It Ralph, as Maisie just pointed out to me there.
It's the Wreck-It Ralph song.
You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment show, Squabblebox. We're talking all about food of the world today. You can get in touch and let us know all about your favourite foods from all around the world at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk, on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Now, we're talking all about food of the world, and I want to take a moment to focus on America. Because
yes.
That is a huge, huge... It's a huge country anyway, but it's a huge food country.
We were talking about how... Because just before the news, we were talking about how even though England, well, the whole of Great Britain is such a tiny island, a tiny collection of islands,
yes.
Really, it seems really weird that we have... That even in from one town to the next, we have different ways of doing food.
Of course. But
in America, it gets even more out of control.
Of course. I want to touch on a few that, because we all know a lot of the big American foods are like, but you think, when you think of American food, Maisie, what sort of stuff do you think of?
I think, for some reason, I think of like a turkey Thanksgiving like layout.
Oh, right.
And mac and
That's
cheese.
That's interesting.
Mac and cheese is a side dish.
Mac and cheese is a side
yeah,
dish.
I
yeah,
I see this a lot on sitcoms, and this is the problem, is that most of my knowledge of America comes from sitcoms, and I'm sorry. It
yeah,
means that
same
I'm,
here,
I'm
actually.
Quite. It means that I'm quite.
Let's face it, if any food was on any episode of a Nickelodeon show between the years 2000 and 2006, I'd probably know about it. That's what I mean. I want to focus on some of the foods that we don't typically serve here in the UK that are American, because we've picked up a lot of Americanization
when
it
comes
to our food.
Many American restaurants as well.
Of course, like look at most of our fast food restaurants are originally American companies. But some of the ones that we haven't really picked up, corn dogs.
Yeah, what are corn dogs? They look like meat. Are they meat?
I'm not sure what meat it is. I'm going to have to look that up and we'll talk about that.
Because it looks like a hot dog on a stick,
yeah.
But it's not. It's also, sometimes they're deep fried.
Yeah, I used to always think it was corn.
I used to think it was like a weird corn mixture thing.
A corn dog is a sausage coated in a thick layer of cornmeal batter on a stick.
So we're half right.
So we are right,
we're half right. Because the only time I've ever, like the first time I ever saw a corn dog was on The Princess Diaries.
Really?
Yeah. And the Queen of Genovia has a corn dog for the first time and she loves it.
I just remember that Drake and Josh used to always go and get corn dogs from the mall. Go pick me up a corn dog. It's those little things that stick with you from watching shows as a child and stuff like that. So corn dogs is one of them. The other one is meatloaf. We played meatloaf earlier. It's as if we thought that through.
Isn't the whole point of meatloaf is to use your scraps of meat from over the week and then repurpose them to make like a mishmash of meat. Is that what it is?
I believe
so. Is that at least its origins?
Possibly, but you can just go and buy meatloaf, so I wonder what...
There's
no point Googling meatloaf because the food is not going to come up first. I think it's going to be the rock legend.
Probably, but so... So it's literally what it says. It's a loaf.
It's a dish of ground meat mixed with other ingredients formed into a loaf shape and then baked or smoked.
What do you have it with? Like, what's the side?
I think you have it with, like, vegetables.
Mac and cheese.
It's America. Chips. That's a joke. That is the opinions of Kai Valentine, not the opinions of Siren FM or Maisie Anderson.
They're also known as fries.
Fries in America.
Yeah, having different names for things in a... Considering that there are two different countries that originate from the same language and we have different names for everything, it's hilarious.
Now, that's one thing that I remember them mentioning, because I remember I got into a conversation with someone the other day because they were saying about my... Because I showed them a picture of what I had to eat. I put it on Twitter because you know, that's what people do in the 21st century, apparently. And it was, a picture of some chips because they were very, very nice chips. And people were messaging me going, that's a steak fry. Like, look at that steak. It's a glazed steak fry. And I was like, that's my really bad American
that
accent.
Is a really bad American accent.
That's a steak fry. And I was like, why are they aggressive? they just really liked these steak fries. And I was like, no, that's just a chip. That's a chip. And they're like, no, a chip is a chip you get in a bag.
Yeah, I don't understand the chips crisps argument.
Because I made this mistake, because when I went to America, I've been to America once, I went for my 11th birthday many, many years ago, and I ended up getting, I remember going up to a restaurant, it was a restaurant, and I ordered a burger with chips.
Oh dear.
And they brought me over a packet of ready salted crisps. And
I just went, that's not too bad.
But I was expecting fries.
See, this is the thing, you don't expect there to be, like, I know a lot of people who have hilarious what I accidentally ordered in a foreign country stories.
Ooh, have
but
you got...
You don't expect it in America.
No, you
do
don't.
You?
Have you got one of these, I accidentally ordered something in a...
I accidentally ordered a single macaroon. I meant to get like a bag so that I could have them on the bus ride home and take a few home maybe if they were still good. But I got so flustered trying to speak French, which is a language I've never studied. And I went through my little translate book that my mum bought me, and I sort of found sort of, hello, can I please have X amount of macaroons? And I just sort of, I got into the shop and went, macaroons? And they went, and they just sort of, they were asking me in French, how many? And I just went, I didn't know what they were saying because I'm ignorant, and I didn't know. And they just went like one, and I went yes.
Yeah, it's yes, thinking please. You went like one bag.
So I was like, so they just gave me one macaroon in a bag, and I went out the shop, and my friend who does speak fluent French, and I told her, do not help me, I need to do this on my own. Just went, do you want me to go back in and ask for more? And I was like, we can't. The bus is about to leave. So we had to run down this hill to get to the bus, and I had one macaroon in a bag.
That's brilliant.
It was lovely, though.
I had this problem when I was... Because I went on a ski trip to Austria when I was in year 9 about 6 or 7 years ago, and I still remember we took a coach over to Austria from Huddersfield to Austria, and that doesn't sound like a good idea on paper, let alone in practice.
It doesn't sound like the normal route one would take either.
It turned out to be the cheapest way, until the coach breaks down on the side of a Belgian motorway at midnight, and it takes 12 hours to get it fixed.
Oh, no.
With 50 school kids all on the way to Austria.
And we'll be hungry at this point.
So it took 30... I actually woke up... Because I woke up at the side of the... Like, we broke down, and then I went back to sleep, and I woke up, and we were in a garage. We were in a garage with like... And we weren't allowed off the coach, because it was dangerous in the garage and stuff. So they finally let us off in the morning to go to... They said, we found a cafe, restaurant thing that we can take you to. So they took us around there, and, oh, wow, we all made... big mistakes on ordering. My friend ordered what he thought was toast, and he got a 12-inch pepperoni pizza. Who serves a 12-inch pepperoni pizza at 9 a.m?
The kind of restaurant who gets a bunch of English kids in and goes, look, have whatever.
And I tried to order a bacon, what I thought was a bacon and cheese toastie, but I ended up getting mushrooms on toast.
Which sounds lovely.
Which actually was quite nice, but I was kind of expecting bacon, and I was sat there with my language teacher, and I went, and she just turned around and went, She barely knew where we were anyway, and we thought we were somewhere in Belgium, and she was like, this is like one of the only languages I don't speak. So had to take a punt and have a guess at it. But yeah, everyone has those stories. If you have those stories, get in touch with us and let us know all about your favourite foods from around the world. At Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
We're talking all about food of the world today, and stay tuned to Siren FM.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Watching through our feet.
We're talking all about food today here on Siren FM, food from around the world. You can get in touch and let us know all about your favourites. Now, we've been talking all about... Let's focus on... What country do you want to focus on next, or area, or culture?
Well, we've been talking about how we had different experiences in Europe.
Yes.
And there was one thing that actually I completely forgot about, and... because I went to France. This is the same trip as the macaroons.
Okay,
there was all sorts of weird food things that week. And what I didn't realise is that, you know that sort of stereotype that French people love French breadsticks?
Yes.
Apparently that's real.
Really?
Bread with every meal.
Including
breakfast.
Because I've got a friend actually on Facebook who's in France at the minute, and he mentioned that he got offered some complimentary bread with the meal, and then when he got the bill at the end, it was billed for, which did make me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, but we were in a hostel, and it was a lovely place, and they did home-cooked food every night. Every morning it was a buffet breakfast, then they'd make packed lunches for us when we were out during the day, and then when we came back... for the evening meal, it was all homemade, it was gorgeous, it was lovely. But some of the combinations were a bit weird. Because as well as having, like, this... They had this awesome bread-cutting machine, which was, like, this big industrial thing, and they just put one baguette at the top, and then it would just sort of find its way down, and it was cut all along the bottom. It was awesome.
Oh, cool.
I loved watching that thing. But the weirdest combination we had was that we had roast chicken with green beans. Just as a side, and nothing else.
Roast chicken with green beans.
That was it. That was all.
What's wrong with that?
Because it was just green beans.
That sounds like most of my meals at the moment.
To be fair, you pair food weird.
Do I?
Yeah.
Recently, because I've been trying to do my healthy kick again recently, and Maisie's rolling her eyes. Why? What's wrong with it? Because I've been having maybe pork. Or chicken, and then I've been having like two bits of veg with it, like
meat and two veg.
Yeah, meat and two veg, mushrooms and courgettes. Courgettes I've really started liking again recently.
I don't know. I suppose because I can't. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but the way that you pair food just looks weird to me.
All right. Now
maybe it's because I'm a one side kind of, like when I make food, I have the main bit, and then I tend to have just one side, and it tends to be something slightly starchy.
Yeah, possibly.
To combat sort of the fresh, with the meat. I don't know.
So we're talking about food from around the world. Yes. And this is one thing that I've always found about food from around the world, is that people can, and like, I wouldn't say that we're massively well-travelled or even food experts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like my food. I think I've made it obvious in the past. I do like my food. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've always found about it is because I was always growing, you get taught those stereotypes when you're young, and you sort of grow up thinking, when you're a really small kid, you grow up thinking that, French, in France, French people eat snails, which means that they must eat snails, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And British people, we eat fish and chips all the time. And you go, no, that's not how it works. And it's funny how people's, even though the cultures are accepted in different places, not all foods move over to different places. One thing that made me, that I only found out a couple of years ago, I think it was a year or two ago, is because I really like, I'm a big fan of curry. I love Indian food. And one of the things that I didn't know is that, because one of the most popular curries in the UK is a Balti.
Yes. And there is I don't know what it is, but there is a curry that was actually invented in the UK.
This is what I'm about to say. This is the one that's invented in the UK. So people go to curry houses, and they will have a chicken Balti, for example. But then they will go to India, and they will say, or even some Indian restaurants here won't serve Balti because it's not a traditional Indian cuisine. It's actually something that's been made here in the UK, and I didn't know about that.
Did you not know?
No, I didn't know.
I thought it was common knowledge.
No, I don't know whether it's common knowledge to everyone, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just me.
I have
me.
To admit, my favourite... I'm not a huge fan of Indian food because even though it tastes great, I can't handle spice very well.
No.
So I always try and go for the mildest options, but there was one time when it was my boyfriend's sister's birthday. We all went to a curry house to celebrate, and I got what I... And I went on... Because you know how they have the little, heat symbols, like the little chilies or something? I went with what I thought was a mild one, but it turns out that number one was mild and number two was quite strong, and then obviously after that it got higher. So I thought a number two would be fine because I like a little bit of heat, but I wouldn't want to go with the plainest one. And there was nothing that didn't have at least one with it. Turns out that I can't even handle number two.
I do love really, really spicy food. Like, I could sit there and eat.
You get weird eating sweats when you eat spicy food.
I do. It's because I have a thing where I can't eat. Maisie finds this funny, and people find this funny when I tell them. I go, I have some sort of allergic. I'm sort of allergic to something in tomato sauce.
And yet you still eat it.
Which I still eat because it's just.
But you
it's nice.
Sweat,
my grandma has
really
the same
weird.
Thing with tomato sauce and horseradish. As
yeah.
well. It just makes a sweat, and that's just something that I think it's genetic.
It might be genetic. It's just really weird to watch. It's like 1 minute you're fine, and the next minute I come back into the room, you're halfway through a pizza, and you're just sweating like you're in pain.
No, I
do. I think the worst bit is because your face goes red, so it looks like you're in pain.
But I'm not. I just get really bad meat sweats. But you can keep getting in touch
you
and
can.
Letting them. Don't let us know about your meat sweats.
They can if they like, but we might not share the information.
At SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabble Box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
When we get back from this next song, we're going to answer some of your emails. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
We asked what you want from your radio station, Siren FM. And you said a better variety of music, local news and stories, presenters with something to say, local voices from across Lincoln. We heard what you wanted, so we said, come on then, let's give it a go. Siren 107.3 FM wants to hear from you. Just head to sirenonline.co.uk to find out how you can get involved. Siren FM wants you. So visit sirenonline.co.uk and be part of Lincoln's first community radio station.
Are listening to Squabble Box on Siren FM. This week we are talking all about the foods of the world, and we've been trying our best to keep on topic, but it's not really worked out, has it?
A little bit. We'll see how things go. But that's the great thing about Squabble Box. We will go off on tangents. We will talk about whatever and whenever.
Including your meat sweats.
Including meat sweats. Hashtag meat sweats. Please don't use that hashtag.
Everyone has been emailing, texting...
Facebooking, tweeting. I nearly said Twittering.
No,
I always sound like an old man when I talk about Twitter.
You're the person who you turn social media into proper nouns. So you say the Facebook,
the Twitter. It's just something that I picked up, and I don't know why, but I ran with it. So we've got an email in.
We have got an email in from Beth in Huddersfield, who says, "Hi guys, just to be right on topic, I'm listening while waiting for my bread to prove, and yes, it is a Paul Hollywood recipe."
Ooh.
Another
bread. I can't say it. Brexit. Bread. It. It's meant to be a joke. Yeah. It's
well,
not funny.
She carries on.
Yes, carry on.
Saying another hour to go. A bit of fried haggis with a usual full English breakfast is the best. Add some white pudding, which is a lot like black pudding, but white with fruit in it, and that's a full English.
I am shaking my head. I'm nodding my head, sorry, because white pudding is amazing. I love black pudding, but white pudding is so nice.
Yeah, because in reality, if you think about black and white pudding too hard, it gets a bit gross.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's gross, but in reality, it's lovely.
Yeah, but it's so tasty. Oh, we picked a wrong week to do this when I'm 2 weeks into my diet and still doing well. And I'm there going, oh, please, I want some white pudding now. Carry on.
She also notes, I've heard it said that if Mary and Paul also leave the Bake Off when it changes channels, to then Channel 4 have basically spent $25 million on a tent.
Ooh, sass. Oh, thank you for that email, Beth. We love hearing from you. There's some good stuff in there. I love that she's actually baking whilst listening to Squabble Box.
She was baking last week as well.
That's brilliant. So keep sending in your messages, guys. We have got a message in here as well from Doreen in Huddersfield, who has listed us some of her favourite foods from around the world. She says that she loves salmon in prawn sauce.
Ooh.
You like that?
I quite like fish, though.
I'll read out them all. Rump steak. Ooh, that's ooh. A good... Yeah.
Are you expecting me to react to everyone?
Yeah, this is just making us hungry. Homemade meat and potato pie. And she's put in brackets, anything British is normally what she goes for. And then Andy from Huddersfield has also sent a message in saying haggis.
Just the word haggis.
Haggis is a popular one.
Haggis is amazing. I'm going to get some haggis and I'm going to make you some haggis.
Yeah, I have had haggis before. But I love it.
Telling you during one of the songs, if you've ever heard of a Scotch pie.
Yes.
Scotch pies are so good.
Yeah, they
I haven't had one in
they're
ages.
Basically a mince pie.
They're a huge pie with mince. Not like a... When you say mince pie, it sounds like you mean like a Christmas pie, like a Christmas mince pie.
Is that not what they are?
No,
I thought
they're meat.
Oh,
they're
right,
meat
fair
pies.
Enough. Fair, yeah, but mince pies are... Christmas mince pies are meat.
Are they?
Yeah.
I don't think they are.
Yeah, they are.
No.
Yeah. Well,
I don't believe you.
Well, get in touch and prove me right. Let's move on to another country, because we're talking all about food from around the world. Let's move to Japan, because some Japanese food is really, really
so good.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Japanese food?
Yeah, my sister used to do, because our high school was technically a language college.
Ah, yes.
So they also...
Technically.
So as well as doing the three core languages that you can do, French, German and Spanish, they also did sort of after school ones as well. And my sister went to the Japanese one. Because she just really liked Japanese culture. She really liked anime, and doing these lessons, she learned how to speak a little bit of Japanese as well as learning a lot more about the culture. And for a while, she got really into Japanese food, which is weird for my sister because she really doesn't like fish that much.
Yeah.
At least she didn't when she was younger. Most Japanese food has an awful lot of fish in it because it's really common to that region in general. And so she ends up eating an awful lot of sticky rice and seaweed. But one thing that I always really want, and like a proper one, is a rice ball.
All right.
I see them in animes all the time, and they look so good.
Are they not just like what they have? Is it not made out of sticky rice?
Yeah, it's made out of sticky rice, and it's sort of melded into a ball, and it'll have something. And sometimes they'll be plain, and a lot of the time they'll have like cute little designs, or they'll be made to look like little people.
All right.
It's adorable. And one of my favorite animes ever is called Fruits Basket.
All right,
and basically the whole idea is that the main character is represented by a little a rice ball, because she was left out of playing the game Fruits Basket because she wasn't made of fruit, she was made of rice ball, so no one called her name to come and join in. And that's kind of the whole story. And rice balls are in that anime a lot, and I want one.
I would say that, because I never used to eat Japanese food, mainly because I'm not a big fan of fish. I should probably try some,
because
I am open to trying it. And one of the things that I have found though is I do like vegetarian sushi.
Yes.
I've had some of that because the Boots meal deal do that, and it's so nice.
Yeah.
And that's what I've had, because it's really, really tasty.
I was about to suggest that if you don't like rice, have the vegetable ones.
What's the spicy stuff?
Wasabi.
Wasabi.
Yeah.
I really like that. When I first had it, someone turned around to me and went, just warning, that's quite hot. And
but
I went,
you like spicy food.
I do like it.
Even if it does give you the sweats.
So keep getting in touch and letting us know all about your favourite foods from around the world. We love hearing from you. We've got so many messages in already. We love to hear more and more as the show goes on. We've got loads more countries and food and everything to talk about.
We're not going to get through them.
No, we're not. I also want to talk about the Paralympics in the last few seconds. As well, because you know what, I've watched it for the last 7 days every night.
I know.
For about 7 hours. That's what, 7 days? I've watched 42 hours at least 42 hours of Paralympic sport over the last few days,
and you're gonna watch more tonight
and even more tonight. I'm really, really enjoying it, but we love hearing from you. Keep sending in your messages. We'll talk more as the show goes on, and stay tuned to Siren FM.
And I wanna move the town to the Glass City Rocker. You need a little drop of electrical shocker. Better leave town if you only wanna knock us. Nothing stand the pressure of the Glass City Rocker. See the red light go down the escalator. Rock, rock.
107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. You're listening to Squabblebox, your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. Today we're talking all about food of the world. And we've had plenty of messages in so far. Keep sending them in, all about your favourite foods from around the world. Now I want to touch on Italian food now, Maisie,
yes.
Because this is a huge, huge topic as well. We could do a whole show on Italian food, probably.
Yeah, we could.
Because we could. But we're going to split it down to the next 5 minutes or so. So let's talk about it. There's some great Italian food out there. What is the Italian food of your choice?
Carbonara.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was a bit weird. I would have to agree. I do like carbonara. So you're more on the... Because the when you think of the two main foods that I think of when I think of Italian food are pasta dishes and pizza.
Yep, that's the main two,
I would say. I'd like to say, me and Missy, we're not food experts in any way.
We just like eating it.
We just like eating it. And if we have got anything wrong, it's not out of... It's more out of ignorance of us not knowing it than...
It's out of unintentional ignorance.
Yeah, unintentional ignorance. So, carbonara, why do you like it so much?
I just do.
Fair enough.
It's just nice and simple and it's lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Plus, it's my favourite kind of pasta.
All right, yeah. What other sorts of pasta do you like?
I like all of them.
I like all pasta. There's no pasta.
I love pasta.
Yeah, I like...
pasta's the best.
Stuff like ravioli, that's Italian as well.
Yes.
That's the pasta with meat in the middle of it. Is that how you describe it, Maisie?
Yeah.
Maisie just go, why would you have to explain what a ravioli is?
Some people might not know.
Yeah, that's true. So there's that, and let's talk about pizzas. Because pizzas are something that our country has completely taken on board with. And
butchered to some level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When you have your pizza of choice from an Italian... So you're at an Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you were to order a pizza and not a carbonara, say the carbonara is off the menu for the day, they have run out of carbonara, what pizza topping would you have?
There was one I had recently that was so good.
It was...
It was basically cold meats
on
a pizza with mozzarella. It was so good.
You're
making
nice.
Me really hungry.
You see, that's the thing that I see, because there are some places which do, because people, when you think of, if you were to get a takeaway pizza, a lot of people would, you know, the traditional ones are the margherita, meat feast, things like that.
Yeah.
But if you go to Italian restaurants, they will put anything on a pizza.
There's a proper word for it, but basically salad on pizza.
Yeah.
They cook the pizza base and then they put salad on top and it's so good.
There's a pizza place on the Brayford here in Lincoln. There are several, but there's one in particular that has a sign outside, or it did have a sign outside, where their pizza was, it had ham on it and a fried egg.
Yeah.
Which I think, so it's a strange combination, but it works. I really like stone-baked pizzas.
It's the best way to have pizza.
Yeah.
It should be stone-baked, really.
Definitely. I
say that most of the time when I have pizza, it goes in the oven from frozen.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I mean, I used to work in a Italian takeaway.
Pizzeria.
I used to make the pizzas. I was awful at making the pizzas. Yeah. No wonder after 2 weeks I was made into the, let's just send him out and deliver these leaflets and menus.
You know, I'm here today because of pizza.
Oh, right. Why?
I've only just realised this. Because my mum and dad met while both working in a popular pizzeria.
Oh, wow.
Did you?
I did know that.
Is the reason for me being here today.
I thought you were going to say, like, the reason pizza was the reason why you were in Lincoln. Like, yeah, my mum and dad really wanted to come over and like, I didn't want to come to the open day at Lincoln University, but I decided, well, there's a pizza, there's loads of pizza places on the Brayford.
The thing is, on my open day, we did go to get pizza afterwards.
Your mum and dad like really into pizza then?
No, because
I found that if I work with food, I know people who work with food that can then not eat that food because they're around it so much.
Yeah, it took my dad a while to, my mum and my dad a while to sort of to calm down after, because once they moved and they left and they stopped working there, it took a while for them to get over the smell of yeast.
Yeah,
because that's the main thing, is that if you work with pizzas, you tend to come home smelling of yeast, which is a very strong, potent smell.
Yeah, I can
that
imagine.
You can't really get rid of easily.
Yeah, it's one of those difficult ones, but I think that what we've learnt today, what have you learnt today, Maisie, from doing food from around the world? Really, we've not gone very in-depth on anything.
We haven't at all. I feel really bad.
I feel like we need to do a part two of this at some point, because food from around the world is such a huge, huge topic.
We haven't even covered every continent.
No. We've barely scratched the surface. So what we want you to do is, I know some of you listen back to this on the Trending Topics Network and iTunes, get in touch with us at Squabblebox on Twitter, on the Facebook fan page, and let us know about some of your answers to any of the stuff we've been talking about today, some of your favourite foods from around the world, and then we'll have plenty to talk about next time. Before we leave, we've got a couple of minutes left, Maisie.
We do.
I want to talk a bit about the Paralympics.
Of course.
Because I've been really, really enjoying it. It is... Honestly, it has been one of the most inspiring things. I'm being genuinely serious. I have really, really enjoyed it. It was I sort of on the same level as what Johnny Vegas was on. We talked about Johnny Vegas earlier this week and how he accidentally sat in the linesman seat, which has come out, and it's since come out that none of the balls were out during that game. And she ended up winning the British women's wheelchair tennis player, who she ended up winning gold. And after going on a 12-game streak after Johnny Vegas was her linesman. But he turned around this week and he said that he was so happy. He wishes he didn't have to leave because he's been enjoying it so much. And I've been the same. I've been watching it and I kind of don't want it to end, because I've never been this invested in sport in a very long time. And that's saying something, because Huddersfield Town are currently top of the championship. Great Britain have already smashed their... We're only a week and a bit in, and we have already got more gold medals than we did at London 2012.
Yay!
And we're only halfway through, which is amazing. We're currently on 43 gold medals, 24 silver and 28 bronze, so 95 medals altogether.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
That's a lot.
I know.
A lot of medals.
It's been fantastic to see that the Paralympics has now officially sold more tickets than the Olympics did. And there's been some amazing stats, like the idea that in the men's T54 100-metre final, the Paralympians actually broke the world record, but also ran faster than the Olympians did in Rio 2016 earlier, a couple of months ago, which is a fantastic stat as well.
Now, I have to admit, my favourite thing about Rio has been their mascots.
Yes.
Because the little Bob thing is adorable.
It is.
Because I was really disappointed by the London mascots, because they looked like this weird sort of BT synergy thing. They look like they should be in like energy and gas adverts.
Yeah.
But the Bob is so cute, and I didn't know, and you pointed this out to me last night, they give the Paralympians on the podium their own version of it, but with either bronze, silver or gold hair.
Which is really, really cute
and
as well.
So cute. Yeah. I want one.
And people have been pointing out how the bronze one looks a lot like Josh Widdicombe. But some of the cool stories that I've heard this week, a British Paralympian said the story that I was watching it, and I've completely forgotten his name, but I will always remember him saying this. He was in an interview and he turned around and he said, because he lost his leg in a bomb accident in Afghanistan, quite a few years ago, and his Twitter bio reads this: was in the army, had a bad day at work, getting faster every day, which I think is amazing. The other two great stories, a Polish athlete two nights ago, she was running in the she was running in the, I think it was the 200 meter sprint, and she ended up falling right on the line. Just before she hit the line, she ended up falling and flat on her face, and everyone was so like, oh wow, is she okay, is she okay? But when they looked at the video evidence, her falling forward meant that her face hit the hit the line in time for her to get bronze instead of fourth.
Yay!
Which is amazing to think.
I love
and
that
she
they
just
count.
She got up and she went, oh wow, I've got... And everyone told her she got bronze because she fell. The final thing I want to talk about, British Paralympian Sarah Storey, who's already won two golds at this Paralympics so far. Because she's been winning so many Paralympic titles, people have been saying that they should find a way to... Because she's already got two gold... she's already got two gold postboxes here in the UK. So they've been trying to think of other ways to
celebrate.
To celebrate her achievements.
Yeah.
So the last leg did a trying to find out and things that they should name after her, and someone suggested a multi-story car park after her. So NCP car parks, which there is one in Lincoln, and I'm really hoping it's this one.
I doubt
is
it.
Are going to rename one of their car parks, and they've already shown a picture of the sign that they've made, the NCP Sarah Multi-Story Car Park, which I think's ace. I love it. I think it's brilliant. So thank you, everyone, for listening to today's show. We've really enjoyed doing it, and we hope you've enjoyed it too. We're going to be back on Monday for hashtag Ask Us Anything, 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Keep getting in touch with us for that. We love hearing from you and answering all of your weird and wonderful questions. But I think it's time to end today's show, Maisie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to go get some food.
We will go get... We need food
we
now.
Need food
we
now.
Do need food. This has made us incredibly hungry. But make sure you stay tuned and check out all the other great material that Siren FM put out on a daily, hourly, minute basis. And we'll see you all on Monday. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
On 107.3 FM. This is Siren FM.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Squabblebox on Siren FM and on the Trending Topics Network. We encourage you to check out all the other great material that Siren FM put out on a weekly, daily, hourly basis by going to www.sirenonline.co.uk. We also encourage you to check out all the other great material that the Trending Topics Network is putting out there by going to www.trendingtopicsnetwork.com, where you can find other such podcasts as the European Uppercut Podcast, Rasslecast, the Spanish Announce Table, Loo Chat, Old School at the Movies, 10 to 1, The Tuts Experience, One Up Club's Heads Up, and much, much more. And of course, don't forget to come back and join us for the next episode of Squabblebox.